This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, Masha's return, Martian tsunamis, and an inflatable space station. A previously disfavoured theory received a boost this month, with two articles both proposing that black holes and dark matter could in fact be one and the same. The superficially plausible idea that the two most famous invisible things in the universe could in fact be related has existed for a long time, but is not the favourite of cosmologists. The most widely supported theories for the nature of dark matter, some matter which feels the force of gravity but does not otherwise interact and makes up five times more of the universe than ordinary matter, involve dark matter being made of some as yet undiscovered subatomic particle. These are generally referred to as weakly interacting mass particles, or WIMPs, and are the subject of many searches, both direct searches seeking to create them in particle colliders, and indirect ones seeking to detect the glow given off by the extremely rare interactions of the WIMP particles out in space or here on Earth. However, an alternative explanation exists, in which dark matter is made up of the same stuff as ordinary matter, just in physical states which do not significantly emit or absorb enough light for us to detect. The dark matter units in these theories are known as massive compact halo objects, or MACHOs, and can be made up of things like black holes or brown dwarfs, high-mass planets which are not quite big enough to be stars. The idea is that the MACHOs would be massive and abundant enough to look like dark matter, but not emit or absorb enough electromagnetic radiation to be visible to available telescopes. MACHO theories have existed since the 1980s, but have been disfavoured by a number of observational results in the intervening years. Gravitational microlensing experiments look for the fluctuations in brightness of distant stars caused by the bending of light by individual MACHOs as they pass between us and the star. A number of experiments, including MACHOs, EROS and OGLE, have looked for this effect and failed to find much of it within our galaxy, certainly not enough for there to be sufficient MACHOs to account for dark matter. This can be combined with theoretical calculations as to how disruptive MACHOs would be to binary stars orbiting each other. Large MACHOs would kick binaries out of their mutual orbits. These two together place an upper limit of 20% on how much dark matter can be made of MACHOs, and tells us that any MACHO must be more than 10 but less than 100 times the mass of the Sun, an extremely narrow range by astronomical standards. However, a new paper published in Physical Review Letters this month latches on to an interesting fact. The black holes which cause the gravitational wave event detected by the LIGO experiment last autumn lie in exactly this mass range. The paper, from astronomers at Johns Hopkins University in the US, pointed this out and also calculated the expected rate at which such mergers should take place, again finding an answer consistent with that estimated by gravitational wave astronomers, the observed merger. We see the effect of dark matter from very early on in the history of the universe, such as in the structure in the cosmic microwave background, at times before stars were formed. This means that if black holes are MACHO dark matter, they must be a particular type, primordial black holes. Primordial black holes are not formed by the collapse of a star, but by the monolithic collapse of high-density regions in the early universe. Such high-density regions were rare, however, but our knowledge of the statistics of fluctuations of the density of matter in the early universe allowed cosmologist Simeon Bird and colleagues to work out how often primordial black holes of around 30 solar masses would merge, if enough of them existed in our galaxy to be dark matter. Their answer, of around 5 mergers per cubic gigaparsec per year, fits nicely within the LIGO estimate of between 2 and 53 per cubic gigaparsec per year for events like the now famous GW150914. Circumstantial evidence possibly, but the scenario is certainly not ruled out. Some further support for the idea also came from Alexander Kuklinski, a cosmologist who works at the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center, Kieślinski also released a paper this month suggesting that 30 solar mass macho black holes could also be responsible for the excessive patchiness of the cosmic infrared and cosmic X-ray backgrounds, the CIB and CXB. Observations of these two, widely separated in wavelength and energy, has shown that they display the same kind of fluctuations. Kieślinski points out that one way to emit a lot of light over a very broad range is with a black hole sucking in matter, which is heated by friction in the accretion disk. If primordial black holes were present early in the universe, they could perform this role and produce the correlated pattern of hotspots seen in the CIB and CXB. It remains to be seen that if the hitherto disfavored macho scenario receives further boosts from gravitational wave observations. As more and more black hole mergers are observed, we will come to know the true mass distribution and merger rates of the objects, finding whether or not they are consistent with the properties of macho dark matter. Also in the news this month, new observations of the planet Mars have been suggested to show evidence of a tsunami on the red planet some 3.4 billion years ago. The subject of liquid water on Mars today remains a controversial one, but the idea that it existed on the surface billions of years ago has grown steadily more accepted since the Mariner 9 probe landed on the planet in 1971. The new research, published this month in the journal Science Reports, dealt with the subject of the impact of a meteoroid on the surface of the huge ocean which it has been proposed used to cover much of the northern Martian hemisphere. Whilst evidence of the coastline of this northern ocean is visible in many places, in others it appears to disappear. The work by a group of researchers led by Alexis Rodriguez of the Planetary Science Institute in Tucson, Arizona, suggests that at least some of these missing portions of coastline were wiped out by massive tsunamis caused by meteoroid impacts in the distant past. By using data from a number of Mars observation satellites, Rodriguez and collaborators saw geological formations corresponding to the rush of water from the tsunami inland, covering an area the size of Texas or Turkey. Also visible is evidence of the retreat of this water in smaller channels cut by the trickle of water back into the ocean. The tsunami would have been up to 120 meters high and consist of the chilly, salty, but liquid water present on Mars at the time. Further evidence was also found for a second of these mega tsunami a few million years later. The apparent presence of a second at sea level, much lower than the first in the region, suggests that Mars's climate grew much colder in the intervening time, meaning this time the tsunami consisted of a slow-moving slush of water ice. The tsunami also apparently never receded, instead freezing in place on the shore, leaving behind large, visible icy deposits. Similar shoreline lobe structures can also be seen from tsunamis here on Earth, as can analogues of the isolated pockets of water which could have been left behind, which may also have been ideal places for life to evolve. Some of the team involved in the work hope to travel to Tibet later this year to investigate life in similar lakes. And finally, astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station were provided with extra working space this month with the successful addition of a new inflatable attachment to the station. The Bigelow Expandable Activity Module, or BEAM, provides an extra car-sized space for those on the ISS, but shrinks to only a fifth of that volume for launch and transportation, an extremely useful property to help reduce the huge expenses of space travel. BEAM consists of flexible Kevlar-like ring supports with multiple layers of fabric and polymer foam in between. After an aborted attempt to inflate the room last month, the procedure went smoothly this time, with NASA astronaut Jeff Williams reporting an expected, but probably annoying, popcorn-like sound consistently over the 7-hour inflation of the module. This is the first time such an inflatable module has been used for human habitation, and will hopefully pave the way for more cheaper biomes both in Earth orbit or on the Moon.